have in this first reading today, on the Thursday of the 13th week, one of the most famous incidents in salvation history. We first have to bear in mind, you know, that this is not Old Testament in the sense that it doesn't relate. All the Word of God is equally authoritative for us. And so this story is one that we should ponder and think about. The first line is to help us understand. God put Abraham to the test. We know that now. Abraham doesn't. We know this is a test. And we've read the story before, heard it before. But as the story is telling us, he doesn't know that. He called to him, "Abraham, here I am," he replied. In Hebrew, that's "Hineni," behold me. It's a marvelous phrase. One of the great Jewish commentators, Rashi, 12th century, commenting on that line, said, "It is the characteristic of a man of God that he agrees to God before he even knows what he asks." He just said, "Abraham," and he said, "Hineni," behold me. Now, it's very interesting because as the story goes on, at the other end, the angel says, you see, "Abraham, Abraham." And again he says, "Hineni." Now, you see, that is the disposition, as Rashi pointed out, of a man of God, including Jesus. "Here I am." The awesome thing about that phrase is that in Isaiah 58, when the Lord is telling us to keep the Shabbat, to not to oppress our workers, not, you know, he said, "Then you call on me, and I will say, Hineni." Just think of the humility, the love of God. "I'll say to you, Hineni." Then here comes the test. "Take your son, Isaac, your only one, whom you love." Didn't make it easy at all, did he? "Take your son, your only one, whom you love. Go to the land of Moriah, and there you shall offer him up as a burnt offering on a height that I will point out to you." The next morning, Abraham saddled his donkey, took with him his son Isaac and two of his servants with the wood that he had cut for the burnt offering, and set out for the place of which God had told him. The next day, he sets out. On the third day, Abraham caught sight of the place from afar. He said to his servants, "Both of you stay here with the donkey while the boy and I go out over yonder. We will worship and then come back to you." Now the fathers of the church said, was that a prophecy? Or was that just saying, you know, hard to know. Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and laid it on his son's shoulders. The rabbis even say, as a man carries his cross. When he himself carried the fire and the knife, then they walked on together. Now, you realize how the Holy Spirit can inspire incredible stylistic power, to give us get us into this story and identify with it. "Father," he said. "Yes, son," he replied. Isaac continued, "Here are the fire and the wood, but where is the sheep for the burnt offering?" "Son," Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the sheep for the burnt offering, namely, Jesus." The two continued going forward. When they came to the place of which God had told Abraham, built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. Next, he tied up his son Isaac and put him on top of the wood of the altar. He reached out the knife to slaughter his son. Now remember the challenge. It's not only a boy whom he loves, his only son. It's the one in whom is embodied all of the promise. I will make of you a great nation. It will be a son from your own body. You know, all the promise is there in Isaac. Now he's lying on the altar, on top of the wood, and Abraham takes the knife. There goes the promise. Not only does his son die, there goes the promise. That is why, you see, he's held up to us as a model of faith. Not only did he believe when God told him he would have this son, and that his posterity would be as great as the stars of the sea and the sand of the seashore, which they are. This is three, almost four millennia later. Not only his physical children, all his spiritual children. And so, at that moment, the angel called out, "Abraham, Abraham," and he answered, "Hineni." The same total abandonment to God, the same kind of obedience, trust in God, which is why he is the father of faith. "Do not lay your hand on the boy," said the messenger. "Do not do the least thing to him." Now the translation is all right. Now I know how devoted. It's more than devotion here. I know how committed you are to God. "Since you did not withhold from me your own beloved son." Yes. Now, we know that this is a figure of God the Father, right? Who did not withhold his own beloved son. And he died for us so that we could be free. Abraham looked about, saw the ram, and so forth. And then he named the site Yahweh Yireh, the Lord will see. That's why people say, on the mountain, the Lord will see. What mountain? The mountain of trial. The mountain of conflict. On the mountain, Adonai Yireh, the Lord will take care of it. The Lord will see. And the angel called out again, giving this message from God. "I swear by myself," declares the Lord, "that because you did this, not withholding from me again," see, and this is the Ben Yachid in Hebrew. This is your only son, Yachid, only and beloved. You see? "I will bless you abundantly and make your descendants as countless as the stars of the sea. Your descendants shall take possession of the gates of their enemies. In your descendants, all the nations of the earth." Now, you know that in this, the descendants, as it's translated in English, but the word is zerach, seed. And Paul points out, read this as the text says it, and not as they translate it. The test in your seed, singular, Christ. Your seed is Christ. And in him, all the nations will find a blessing. So then he returned to his servants, and they set out together for Beersheba, where Abraham made his home. It would be impossible to imagine how many million people have meditated on this story. But it does show us that nothing is to be preferred to God and God's will. Nothing. Even the very embodiment of everything we think our life stands for. It's a great, great word of God. Huh? And it's not an interesting story of somebody about 1700 BC. This is the classic description of faith. John of the Cross will say that the heart of the trial, known as the dark night of his soul, is an heroic act of hope. I'll kill my son, my own son, whom I love, and I'll trust you about the promise. We should pray about this text and let the Lord strengthen us. Get us ready for whatever what we think we need, we don't need. We need this kind of trust, this kind of faith in God.